the way to get your highest CPMs. What you need to do is you need to do a lot of manual calls and run them up against your overall real-time bidding and constantly refresh.
How do you get sly with ad ops in an RTB world? Hello and welcome to Growth Masterminds. My name, of course, is John Gutierrez. It's not a big mystery. If you want to get good, if you want to grow fast and mobile, you got to be amazing at UA. And it helps to have world-class ad monetization. Today, we're chatting with someone who has some ideas that might just help with both. His name is Farhan Haq. He's an industry veteran. He's at UA and admon roles with Nanobit, Dapper, SocialPoint, Cybo, and CarryFirst, and now runs his own independent growth agency from two locations globally called HyperHQ. Welcome, Farhan. How are you doing?
Very good, John. Thanks for the intro.
Excellent. Happy to chat. You're talking from Cape Town, South Africa right now. Other times of the year, you are in Copenhagen, Denmark. Happy to connect right now. I'm just going to ask you right off the top, how do you get sly with ad ops in an RTB world?
I chose this topic really because I think that it's obviously one that has been open for a long time. And we see that there is real-time bidding or header bidding. A lot of people are very reliant on that. When you run with both Level Player 9 Source or Ablovin in general, real-time bidding is obviously something you must try. But the fact that it isn't something that is just running itself is something to be noted and something that's very important for games developers and publishers to really understand the fundamentals of. So overall, from what I've seen in my last few roles, is that just running on, as I said, real-time bidding is not the way to get your highest CPMs. What you need to do is you need to do a lot of manual calls and run them up against your overall real-time bidding and constantly refresh those overall. And so that's the kind of main first thing. And make sure you have, obviously, the networks that are still kind of on manual calls to really optimize those. That's obviously what you can do. Obviously, there's networks that you can't optimize. So those you have to rely on real-time bidding. But the ones you can still, those you need to basically have constant A-B tests running. And from my experience, I find it easiest to do on Ablovin because a level play, even though it's a solution that obviously Unity has pushed people to go down the line of, I don't think it's my perspective as advanced in terms of A-B testing that you can do. So I found with Ablovin doing constant A-B tests, this tends to be obviously per game and then doing a distribution of geos separately. So focusing on different tiers, for example, I think in the US and some tier one countries and focusing on those to try and squeeze out the CPMs that you get on certain networks, I think it's quite important. And if you don't do that on a regular basis, you basically don't see strong enough CPMs that will merit your UA to be scalable.
So the temptation when you have RTB networks, when you have somebody's SDK in your app for admon is, hey, let them run it, go for it, you know, hands off, and we'll put the placements, put the units, and the ad revenue should flow in. Talk about why you need to be hands-on, what you need to do when you're being hands-on, and why you need to be running A-B tests all the time.
Yeah, essentially, if you're not hands-on, you just end up with having a certain CPM that might be okay for you, but if the rest of the competition are being more hands-on, well, essentially your game is less competitive and there's a lot of competition out there. So the way to get your game from being a mediocre standpoint in the market to being a high-performing game is that aggressive ad monetization to basically squeeze your eCPM. In order to do that, yeah, the first thing is obviously run a lot of A-B tests, but do them like periodically, not overlapping, not in a messy way where you can't understand what's going on. So have a method that you can kind of learn from rather than doing like lots of overlapping A-B tests. That's obviously not the way to go. But what I've seen is key is like, you know, really understand what like the systems it use, whether it's like Level Player or Ablovin, and try to understand how you read the kind of what's going on there and what's not. Like, really understand the metrics well and see that, look, if there's a gap there, then you can essentially do more A/B tests. If you're seeing too much fill for like specific calls, for example, if you're seeing an $80 CPM filling at 2%, and then the next call above is you know, there's a big gap towards it. So if it's a $200 and has a decent fill, you may need to add further calls in between. So the key is really understanding where do you add those calls and how to continuously test. And even if you think you've reached that kind of answer, the market changes and therefore you need to continuously test, essentially.
Talk us through one of those tests. What do you need to be testing? Is it placements? Is it pricing? Is it ad units?
Yeah, so it's all of those. I mean, it's the pricing, the CPM bid per ad unit, per geo, essentially. So I would group certain countries into a kind of a bucket and then do those testing, do the specific tests per ad unit. Essentially, you need to be able to maximize your audio video, your interstitials, and your banners. And I would recommend trying to use all of them, if possible, if your game allows it, so you don't hurt your user experience. You will get a lot of revenue from even banners because just the amount of times, the amount of views you can get per user per day. You can show 30 to 40 banners a day and they're still relevant. So yeah, really optimizing all of those is important. And then, that's the kind of, I would say, the basic step. After that, there's all of this, I'd say was kind of how to hack your monetization waterfall. That's kind of important. And then this is a kind of first step, really making sure you're squeezing out every dollar of the CPM through those manual calls. I would say that's the first step.
It's interesting because we're automating more and more stuff, but you're saying, hey, you actually have to get involved here and be hands-on. Is that because you're working with automated systems that other people own and there aren't kind of the automated tools that are working for you?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, look, automation occurs, but who is this automation in favor of, essentially? It tends to be in favor of the advertising network. So, and also there's massive amount of bias in general because you're working with networks who have their own mediation, which may be free, but obviously, they can obviously, you'll see that AppLovin itself has a much more larger share if you use them. And they're also the same with Level Player 9 Source, right? You'll generally get a large amount, much more of a share for each of those networks if you use that specific mediation. And that obviously goes to tell you that there is bias. And if there's bias, how can you trust automation? So when you're running Facebook or Meta, there's not little you can do. Like, it's fully, real-time bidding, but you can still do manual calls on Google, and that's really important. And as that's important on AdMob, you also need to also expose Google Ad Manager. So the GAM networks are another huge area that people have not been focusing on. And I've seen many companies out there, after they've added those Google Ad Manager networks, have increased their opt-out like 15-20% at least. So that's another key area you're missing out on if you just use what you think are the traditional networks, not really understanding that there are other networks out there. And kind of is confusing because it's like, why am I able to buy Google inventory outside of Google? Yeah. Those guys are resellers of Google inventory, and something Google still allows. Even though that was something that was supposed to be killed off at the end of this year, it's still running. So we don't know how long that's going to go around the industry. But for now, you have to use those networks, and otherwise you're missing out on a huge amount of revenue, and therefore your UA is not something that's going to benefit out of that, right? Because your LTVs are going to suffer.
So you mentioned a 15 to 20% that you're missing out on if you're not optimizing some of this stuff. If you come into a new client and they just shove an SDK in their app because they build an app, they're working on their game experience, they're working on their app experience, and the ad monetization is kind of an afterthought. What's the multiplier that you can achieve for them by doing some of these things? Can you get like a 2, 3X, 4X improvement in ad monetization?
Yeah, look, I think it's hard to quantify exactly on that level. But what I would say is that you will be able to improve your ads opt-out. If you improve your ad opt-out without hurting your retention, which I believe fundamentally you can do, you will be able to essentially improve your LTV, and you don't need to double, treble, quadruple your lifetime value in order to be able to scale your UA. So what you may see on a user acquisition perspective is that you're able to buy users in the US at $1.50, maybe 1,000 users a day. But as soon as you're able to move up to $2, you may be able to buy 5,000 to 10,000 users per day. Now that makes a huge amount of difference when you can scale your user acquisition 5 or 10X, and often that is the case. And therefore, that's what will often happen with developers or publishers. They say, but we can do UA. It's fine, but but then we say, well, what is the, how much UA are you able to do? Well, you know, we're able to spend $1,000 a day. Great, but don't you want to be able to spend more? They're like, yeah, no, but we've tried to spend more. But yeah, but have you, other than just focusing on your game experience, you need to make sure you're monetizing correctly. And these days, ad monetization is the easiest way to monetize, you know, a large user base, because people get less and less likely to spend, and you want to be able to monetize the whole user base, the 90-odd% or whatever, or more, that doesn't, you know, spend on IAPs or subscriptions.
How are you seeing that mix change? It felt like we were really heavy on subscriptions. Everybody wanted that over the past 18 to 24 months. Are you seeing a resurgence in AdMon? And what's the kind of the mix that you're seeing of AdMon, in-app purchase, and subscription?
Yeah, I think that this obviously varies massively depending on what kind of game or what kind of genre you are. I'd say subscriptions are booming, mostly in non-gaming. I think it's still hard in gaming, but there are many battle passes these days that are working well with subscriptions. I think you need to have a solid hook with a subscription, really convince the user that they need to be subscribing. They get this extra added value that you don't get in a game. If you don't subscribe, that's what most gaming companies are failing on, where the subscription can be earned through, you know, either grinding or through watching ads. And of course, there's kind of a, you know, that's not playing to your strengths, right? So you really need to be able to separate out, I would say, your ability to monetize versus how, in general, you get just basically how you're able to put your different users in different buckets to be able to understand, okay, these guys, we need to go heavily on ads because they're not going to spend, understanding why they are and what kind of users they are. I think that's what the success in gaming is now, really being able to offer a different kind of user experience depending on what kind of user is playing the game, and having that different experience per user is fundamental. Because if you look back in the history, they would have, you know, maybe they would have a simple answer where, you know, remove ads if the user spends, which is okay. But then, you know, you can do much more advanced things than that in order to be smart about things, to the point where if you can be smart enough, I'll give you one of the clues on the kind of heavy end of ad ops, is that you can give, for example, a rewarded video, you can give a user a higher reward depending on how much that user is worth on a sellable point of view. And you can do that real time. If you're able to match your CPM up with the amount of, if you can match a CPM real time that the user is generating from like being able to sell them on, you can then reward that user a higher amount in game. And that's something you can do if you're smart about your ad ops.
I love that idea. I like it a lot. One of the reasons is rewards for rewarded ads that suck in some cases have made me stop watching rewarded ads in a certain game because reward isn't enough.
The reward sucks. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's some games and there's some rewarded ads right now that are like, you're spending 90 seconds in the thing, right? Because there's a little video, then there's a, it pops open a store kit view, and then there's a little playable, and then there's a countdown before the little X shows up, right? So there's, that's a commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So if you are smart enough to do it, and I do know how to do this, but essentially what you're able to do is you're able to, with the current systems and stuff out there, unless you can hack things correctly, you're essentially able to pinpoint users based on how much they're worth and give them that set of reward back real time. So essentially what I'm saying is that if a user, for example, is worth $100 CPM in the US, you're saying, okay, instead of giving them one gen watching the reward video, I'm going to give them five because they're worth that much more. And then the user will see that, oh, I'm going to get five gems to watch this video. You will get that $100 CPM. And then the user's much more likely to actually click on watching that ad. So that is actually how... You get basically your players to watch more ads and earn more money from it without overly hurting your economy. So very few publishers are doing this at the moment because they don't know how. Firstly, they haven't thought about it. And secondly, no one basically speaks about this in the industry.
Absolutely. Frankly, it's the first time I've heard it. And I talked to a lot of people in ad tech and martech and mobile. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Again, yeah. And then the key is here really about how you play around with your ad units and how you can duplicate those ad units. So that's the kind of key. You basically, an ad unit has, each ad unit has its own waterfall. But imagine that you had a waterfall of ad units. So that's how, basically, if you do that from a dev environment, you can actually, have waterfalls of different ad units for the same placement. And that's how you can do much more advanced ad operations and also much more advanced rewards for those. So it requires a lot of testing, and I try to do this, and it's not easy. It does require dev work, so which is hard from our perspective because we're marketing guys working with devs, having extra dev work, convincing them on that. Difficult, but yeah. That's the one thing I have learned how to do. Being able to teach other publishers this could be the key to basically turning a game around, doing okay, to doing like fundamentally like being one of the top performing games in the market.
Absolutely. Talk about some of the common mistakes you see when you start with a new client in terms of AdMon. Are there three, four things you see typically every time that are they're messing up on?
I would say the common mistakes are a few things. One would be simply that they're not using ads. The full kind of they're not using replacements well, as in like they may have rewarded video, but then they might not be using banners or interstitials. And then not just that, they'll have maybe rewarded video at the wrong time. And then when they introduce banners and interstitials, it'll be actually quite detrimental in terms of user experience. At the end of the day, I'm also like a gamer, so I also want to see the ads at the right time. And I find like, you know, they've added these really awkward moments. Especially interstitials are the worst. It's like, why am I getting interstitial now? And they're like, yeah, but we're not showing interstitials for the first 2 days. And now I'm getting it. Now I'm a more valuable user. I just want to stop playing. Getting interstitials 2 days in. Is that the small thing to do? Not sure. So I tend to see that's the ones that kind of annoy me the most when I come in with a gamer view and I'm like, this is just a terrible experience. So that would be the first thing I would see, just like having the wrong placements at the wrong times. Then, you know, the rewards maybe not being high enough because they're worried about the economy being hurt. And then, there's just lack of focus on the whole ad monetization. So no one really looking at that, just like not having enough networks there, not optimizing enough, not focusing on A/B tests, not understanding that whole realm. I'm just working very hard to improve the game experience, which is obviously fundamental, but you can't have a game in this day and age, a free-to-play game, without having solid monetization. And ad monetization is basically the way you're going to... if you're not ad monetizing and you're able to be successful, great. But like there's very few games these days that can live in that environment.
Very few, absolutely. You mentioned a few things in passing as we were talking. You talked about different geos, you talked about different tiers of countries and different strategies. Maybe talk about that in a little more detail. A lot of publishers will focus on a certain market, but there is a global market out there and there are opportunities. How are you able to maximize those?
Yeah, it's difficult when there's, you know, the world is large, and how do you not focus on tier one? How do you focus on tier two and tier three? Look, I've got a lot of experience in working in tier three markets, and I think it's the key is understanding how to kind of buy those users, like at scale, grouping those countries correctly, and also optimizing your ad waterfall for those countries. I think what's key is kind of like looking into where your, like the first thing I would do is kind of look at where your CPMs lie, right? From where you have, so first start global UA and just start getting some data in. At that point, if you want to optimize tier three countries, obviously you don't want to do each country individually. So kind of start optimizing where you see the CPMs being kind of equivalent to each other. And these can be like random countries. You might even have a tier one country that has the same CPM as a tier three country. So really, once you have that data, then you can kind of create buckets of geos to monetize, to optimize your ad monetization. But it's key to gain that data, then optimize those geos, and then try to scale on those specific countries at the same time. So I would suggest by starting with global campaigns and just see where you're seeing some good performance. And that's what generally I would say the industry are doing global campaigns, but then they're not really understanding like how to, you know, scale the markets when they see, you know, solid performance. They're like, oh, we're doing well in Vietnam. Now what do we do? If you're doing well there, I would say like maybe even just focus on that geo specifically and optimize heavily there and just see how much you can scale. You can probably scale 3-4 times than you think you can if you're able to be smart with ad operations. So that's kind of how I see it. And sometimes you might be able to be a lot more successful by just focusing away from tier one just because it's too much competition there.
It's super interesting, right? Because, everybody wants to go where the money is, but there is money in other places as well. And given that you are an app, you are distributed digitally, there's opportunities globally, and who knows what you're missing. It sounds like, you know, hey, go global. When you see an opportunity, dive in and double down on that. And that in turn can lend itself to opportunities elsewhere, whether that's tier ones, tier twos, whatever the case might be. It's all part of the app journey, and none of this is predictable right off the top.
Yeah. I think the key thing as well is also like, once you see that, you might start seeing success in the East, right, in Asia. And then like just optimizing there, can do some things on ads front, but also like that's when you might say, oh, actually we need to do some more localization. We need to, other than just translate there, we need to like make localized content and culturalize as much as possible for those markets. So, you know, try invest in changing the game up. Even potentially getting a publishing deal is fine, but if you have the resources and you think, okay, my game's working well in Asia, like why not try and do some form of culturalization if you're able to, because that can massively help just with the user loyalty and potentially your like kind of organic virality. And then you might realize what I'm seeing also these days is that it seems to be that there seems to be more bridges for Western developers to make games for Asia. And that mostly is because of the other way around. Like many of the games that are doing well in the West are coming from like Asian developers. So there seems to be more of an ability to, for, you know, people to go cross continent than there ever was, at least like 5 years ago. Before, you would see that, you know, games being in Asia were all made in Asia, and more like country focused for like Japan, Japanese games would be big in Japan. But now we're seeing, like, for example, many developers in Korea doing well in the West, and also like the Western developers hitting it, Asia and doing well there. This massive amount of crossover, and that might be because of like cultural trends shifting. That means that you have to be even more of this kind of global approach and be smarter with how you look at operations. Because before, you would only look, I mean, I would only ever look at tier one with any of the games companies I worked for, because we didn't think on Western countries, because we didn't think we could potentially have any success. And we tried, for example, a social point, trying to do things in Asia, just flopping badly, not understanding how to. And I think there wasn't ability 10 years ago to be successful for a Western developer in Asia. But now it seems like there is, you can localize, culturalize, and do well. And there's like, you know, so there's a huge amount of global opportunity that there wasn't around before. And so it's a positive. It's also a problem for many developers going, where the hell are we supposed to focus? Like, are we supposed to make games for Asia, or should we just try to make, like, what do we, it is another confusing aspect of gaming now.
Yeah, exactly. It's always challenging. Many things to think about, and you can't focus on everything. But it's great to let it fly and see what happens, and then follow success. Any last hits, perhaps on monetization? Obviously, you focused on AdMon, but there's still critical importance of in-app purchases. And we see that even people who purchase subscriptions will occasionally watch an ad if that's included there, or purchase iApps and they'll occasionally watch an ad as well. How's that mix going to evolve over the next 18 months, do you think?
That's a good question. I don't know. I know the answer to that. What I do think is that people will be smarter. The stuff I'm saying will be more prevalent in the industry, as in people will be smarter about how they show ads, how they segment users, and what kind of rewards they give to those users when they watch ads. Also, I think, you know, as an industry, all the stuff that's gone on where you've not been able to target users in terms of with the right ads, I think people, the developers are making up for that by being smarter about how they show ads to users. And I think eventually the ads will be more targeted again as the industry kind of goes back to working out how to target users based on current legislations. But I think, honestly, I think the ad monetization area will probably keep growing because of that, because you're able to show ads in a smarter way. And I don't think it's like, obviously subscriptions may expand because that's becoming more and more a norm. But I would say like getting users to spend more on IAPs, I just don't see that being something that's going to be a trend in the next 18 months. I think it'll be more potential on subscription, but I think ad monetization being smarter from a developer publisher point of view is probably what's going to happen.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, personally, if I look forward, and obviously we're just crystal balling it here right now. No, we don't actually have a clear insight into the future. I do think subscriptions will continue to be a bit challenged as the economic picture is not amazing. I think IAPs, yeah, it makes sense. Absolutely go for it. But it'll be spotty as they are. And AdMon, you ought to be able to run your business on the revenue you're getting from that, and then be able to get in the extra as well, because you can't guarantee that you're going to get a ton of IAP revenue. You can't guarantee you're going to get a ton of subscription revenue, especially in tier two and tier three countries.
Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of companies are focused on tier two, tier three in terms of like local payments. And I've seen a lot of that. But fundamentally, it can work. Also having like alternate app stores where you don't pay the margin, again, can work. But does it fundamentally change the game to use local payments? I haven't, from what I've seen, I haven't seen any evidence of that whatsoever. The only thing I see really is what people are really not focused on, enough on is what I've talked about, like how to really squeeze your ad monetization. It's just the easiest levers I've seen for increasing your ARPDAU without people not really thinking that it's possible. There's always more ways of making money through ads. And even with the newer forms of ad units out there, I think that will advance more as well in terms of stuff like audio ads or any other form of new ad unit that comes out there. Like, how can you put more brands or whatever in your game in a more subliminal way? You know, that's what's coming, right? All this, like, kind of more brands are entering and whatnot. But how do they get into your game and how, without affecting the experience? I think we're becoming more smarter on that level. I think there's more ways of having, like, product placement or whatnot in games. I think that will kind of slowly come in, especially as we're seeing the kind of the industry moves away somewhat from hyper casual and moves more into like more games with longevity. People are starting to think, okay, we want games that we can play for 5 to 10 years as a publisher. But then how do we like basically make money without people noticing? And that's kind of ads, whether it's more being smarter about your ad placements and how you optimize those, but also how you get brands in there and how you form new ways of having like advertising. And like there's got to be new ways of placing ads in without people.
In fact, there are, and you mentioned product placement, and that's happening, and we're starting to see that, and also in-game ads that are, it's not intrusive or a blockage, but it's like on the wall. It's like you walk into a stadium in real life and there's an ad on the wall, like a sponsor, and you see that in a game as well. That's starting to happen. We're starting to see sponsored placements in the music for games and different apps as well. So there's a lot of different things going on there. Well, this has been super interesting, Farhan. I want to thank you for taking the time and chatting through all this stuff with me. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, John. It's been a pleasure.